Tonight what I shall have to say will be more of something that I need to say rather than something which you need to hear. I think now of a grand old hymn which we used to sing in many of our Southern Baptist churches. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Having gone to Brazil and spent some 3 years there, I have come to understand that I've not counted my blessings in the past such as I should have done. And having returned to these good United States for a year furlough, I'm recognizing that many of my loved ones also are failing to count the many blessings from God as they should. And so tonight I should not speak so much concerning the subject of counting your blessings as on the subject of recognizing your blessings. For if we are failing to count our blessings, there must be reasons why we are. And that perhaps is that we are failing to recognize what a blessed people we are. And so tonight, may I call to your attention a few of the matters concerning the need to recognize the blessings which we enjoy. Immediately, you are aware, as am I, that our time does not permit us to say a great deal about blessing. Blessing is something that we receive that we ought not to have. Blessing is something like the word grace, an unmerited favor or kindness. And so it is a subject so vast that I should like to narrow it to certain blessings. So may I say a few words concerning recognizing the blessings of citizenship. Again, this word citizenship is quite big, and it has a subject all of its own. And so I will limit this. Recognizing our blessings of citizenship in the world, in the U.S., and in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And may I mention two things before I come to the part of our blessings in this world. When I refer to where I serve, I do not refer so much to the country of Brazil. Brazil is a vast country. Before Alaska was added to these United States, Brazil covered more land area than the United States. Brazil is such a huge country indeed that the Southern Baptist Mission Board, or the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, has divided it into three missions. The South Brazil Mission, which has some 65 million people to reach. The North Brazil Mission, and the Equatorial Brazil Mission, which in land area covers more than half of the United States. And so when I shall speak, I shall not be concerned with South Brazil nor North Brazil, but the area in which we live. For you will be aware, having studied something about Brazil, that there are areas in South Brazil much like our own United States. And North Brazil, too, is making a great deal of progress. But when I speak concerning the backwardness of Brazil, you will know that I'm speaking about Equatorial Brazil. You were just blessed by having Mr. Mark Alexander in your area, and I believe to speak to your people here at your church. You're aware that in Argentina, where he serves, there's a term of 5 years before your furlough. This is true also in South Brazil. North Brazil, the missionaries serve 4 years before coming home. But in Equatorial Brazil, our term is 3 years. This speaks for itself, something of the differences between the north and the south and the equatorial area of Brazil. And so tonight I speak to you concerning recognizing the blessings of citizenship, because I want to say it more than because you need to hear it. First of all, the blessing of citizenship in this world. The writer of Genesis, rather, I should like to say the compiler of Genesis, gives us two accounts of creation. One account which is hundreds of thousands of years older than the other account. And strangely enough, the first account is an account which was written last. The second account, which was written first, speaks much of the Garden of Eden. The second account speaks much of man in a small environment. But the first account, which was really written second, speaks of man in a vast and a huge world upon the face of the earth. And I am convinced, had these accounts been compiled at a later time in history, there might have been a third account, speaking of man as being a part of the universe. For our world has grown from a Garden of Eden to the face of the earth to the entire universe. Today is an exciting time to be alive. And we ought, as never before, to recognize the blessing of citizenship in the world, or the citizenship which we have in the universe. And yet in the 20th century, there are more people in more parts of the world complaining about life than at any other time in all of history. When life is so exciting, so interesting, and proves to bring so much to its people. A wealthy atheist once in London, England, as he lay taking his last few breaths upon his dying bed, had these words to say: "If it were possible, I would give all of my wealth, all of my possessions, to live one more day." There are no blessings greater than the blessing of life, the blessing of citizenship in the universe of which we are a part. I know that there are many people who would say, "No, you're wrong. The blessing of spiritual life is far greater than the blessing of physical life." But let me explain. How could it be possible for one to have spiritual life without first having physical life? And so on this basis, I say that God has given us nothing more important than the life which we enjoy. And this is especially true in the 20th century. Today in the United States, we can hope to live about 20 years longer than we might have hoped to live a few years ago. That is not to say that there were not people who lived to be just as great an age, or just to be an aged person as much a few years ago as they do today. But this is to say that more children are living and fewer are dying. More teenagers are living and fewer are dying. And fewer people are dying in the 30s and 40s. So the life expectancy in just a few years has been added to us. And so we have almost a 20-year life expectancy in addition to what our forefathers have had. And so to have all of this given to us is a blessing of which we ought to recognize. But especially, as I said, in the 20th century. A few weeks ago, down in the state of Georgia in a revival, I noticed, as the man landed on the moon, flashing across the television screens, "Touchdown on the moon. Touchdown on the moon." You were there. You saw it. And you saw the men as they descended from the ladder and as they stepped for the first time on the moon. What an exciting time to be alive. Now, I didn't say that you should agree with the entire program or disagree. This is with you. But what an exciting time to be alive. And yet in all of its excitement, there are more people in more parts of the world complaining about life than at any time previously. Now the church could rejoice because of this moon project. Because were it not for the moon project, a man in Brazil, or a man in China, or a man in Russia would not be able to see live a preacher, or a missionary, or a layman, or a Christian who sits yonder in a television station in New York or Washington and reads from God's Word. because of the program, if the church decides to do so, we can speak to millions of people around the world, live coverage, and they will hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The blessing of being alive in the 20th century. There are so many reasons for recognizing such a wonderful blessing. And yet, let me hasten to suggest that we ought to recognize also the blessing of being citizens in the United States of America. I say this to you because I'm recognizing it more all of the time. I've met many Brazilians, but I don't know a single Brazilian who would not like to be from North America. I don't know a single Brazilian who would not like to have citizenship in the United States of America. And perhaps this could be stated in most areas of the world, that most of the peoples of the world would like very much indeed to have citizenship, to enjoy the things which you and I enjoy as citizens of the United States. And yet, as I think of recognizing the blessings of citizenship in the United States, I think of what a great subject this is in itself. And so may I suggest just a few things of the things which we enjoy. When I think of America, especially having been a missionary and being a missionary in South America, I think of the food which we have in abundance. Since July the 8th, when our plane arrived in Richmond, it's been my privilege to speak in several states, to lead in two revivals in two states, to lead in camp areas in two other states. And in all of these areas, in all of the states, and in all of the cities, I have been overwhelmed at how much food Americans eat. Now, I'm not eating more than I used to eat, but I'm recognizing more than ever before how much we have to eat. It would be impossible for me to express and to explain to a hungry man in Brazil the kind of program which we have, which pays a farmer $45 to $50 to $55 a year per acre, not to plant a crop on that acre of land. Of course, this makes sense to us, for we understand the economy of the United States. But to try to explain to a hungry man that we have food in abundance, that we have piles of food that are going to waste but cannot send them to him, is difficult to explain. And as I think of our food and how much we eat and how much we don't eat but leave for the garbage, I'm reminded of the people in our church. We have more than one family who have no stove. We have no family who has a stove. We have more than one family who has no refrigerator. No family in our church has a refrigerator. And I think of those hundreds of people who come to our church who have no table, who have no chairs, who have no plates, who have no spoons, who have no forks. Recently, I visited in one of these families in their mud hut. I was there about time when they were eating their one meal for the day. And I saw them as they filled a little tin plate for one of the boys. And I noticed that as he finished, he passed it back and it was filled again for our little sister. And again it was passed back for another brother, and again until seven brothers and sisters ate. And then the mother and father took their turn out of the little tin plate. I noticed also what they were eating, rice which was locally grown, and something like a meal which is made from a very cheap root of something that looks like a weed rather than a vegetable. This was their meal for the day, and they ate it, of course, with their fingers. They have no silverware. And so as I came back to the United States, really as I went back to our own home, recognizing the blessings that were mine, not because I was a missionary, not because I happened to have more money than they had, but because I'm an American, I recognize how little I have appreciated the citizenship in the United States. And as I have seen these things, and as I have returned, it is very difficult even for me to understand why many of our people go the road of the hippie and go the road of the complainer when the United States has so much to offer to its citizens. I think also of the clothing which we wear. Some months ago we received a snapshot from my in-laws from North Carolina. And this snapshot showed the people of the church as they left the building. My wife said, as we looked at the snapshot, "Well, certainly this must be Easter Sunday. Look how well the people are dressed. And look how healthy they are. Look how well fed they are. It must be Easter." But as we read the note which also accompanied the snapshot and looked at the date on the back of the snapshot, it wasn't Easter at all. It was just any old Sunday. That's the way we dress. And not just the people whom we knew in the States, but we ourselves. As we returned, we of course first went to the department store and bought new clothing so that people would not think we were poor missionaries. So this is the way we dress, and this is fine, and this is good. And yet sometimes we don't recognize what a blessing it is to have an extra suit hanging in the closet, to have another dress, to have another pair of shoes ready to change. The last Sunday before we came to the States, we were out in our church area taking snapshots to show to some of you people here in the States. And more than one time, our neighbors, who are rather well-to-do and educated, but who are not part of our church, they cautioned us several times to allow the children to clothe themselves before we took pictures, because they would have been embarrassed for us to have brought back with us pictures of the people like they live. The children up to 7 or 8 years old usually wear no clothing, and it's primarily because they have so few of them. And so I was reminded of the need to recognize the blessing of U.S. citizenship and all that it holds in the way of food and clothing, and also in the way of housing. The average house in our area or in our membership can be bought for $25 to $30. For these folk go out to the woods and bring a few poles in and a few twigs in, and by using vines which string from the trees, they wrap the poles to the twigs which hold the mud. And more than this is simply the palm leaves, the palm branches which cover the top and keep it from leaking. There is one room. There is no floor. There is no water. There are no bathroom facilities. And so is it any wonder that 3 of 10 children in one of our families lived? The other 7 didn't make it. And so I think of life itself. For at least half of the young boys and girls, the babies that are born in our area, don't make it. And I think of life itself, which we enjoy in these United States, with all of the other blessings as fringe benefits. I think, too, of the liberty which we have. Sometimes we, as Americans, not only take for granted this liberty, but we run it overboard. I haven't yet forgotten what some of the Americans called their president. And I certainly have not come to the place which I have condoned some of the language used by some Americans talking about Lyndon Johnson. It wouldn't matter with me were it John Kennedy or Richard Nixon or Lyndon Johnson or any other of the presidents. We just don't use our liberty as some of our Americans have used it. And yet, even though some of us go beyond the necessary point in using our liberty, how grateful we ought to be that we have it. That if we don't like a program, we can say so, and we ought to say so. That if we don't like a particular government movement, we can say so, and we ought to. But in the USS of Brazil, we can't say that. A Brazilian can't say that he doesn't like Costa e Silva, the president, not to let it be known. A newspaperman cannot write in his newspaper that the programs need to be revamped. He might write it, but he'll not write anything the next day, or the next month, or the next year. And a politician can't say what he wants to about the present form of government. He might say it, but he'll not be a politician anymore. And so how much we ought to appreciate the blessings of liberty which are ours and which we've enjoyed all of these years. And one part of the liberty which we enjoy is the liberty to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now Brazilians are finally enjoying this. Now we are guaranteed freedom to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can do so in any state, in any city, in any area of that city, in any park. We can go and we preach the gospel. And the Brazilians are so happy to have this liberty that the men of the church, not necessarily the deacons or the Sunday school teachers, but the men of the church are wanting to preach. And they're forever talking to the pastors about opportunities to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in our areas in Brazil, no longer do we depend primarily on the pastors or on the preachers, but all of the people of the church are anxious to go out and tell people of Jesus Christ and tell people what they're finding in the Baptist churches. This is a liberty which is age old here in the United States, and yet we have recognized it so little that little by little this liberty, as I see it, is being taken from us. No longer can you go into any area and begin a church building. No longer can you go to any housing area and witness for Jesus Christ. For example, the high-rise apartment is quite difficult to get into now. And so there are many areas in which we might be losing something of our liberty to preach the gospel or to witness to the gospel because we have not recognized it as being a blessing in the past. But there are so many things to say about recognizing the blessings of U.S. citizenship that let me pass on to say something of recognizing the blessings of spiritual kingship. I've read to you a few of the verses that Paul had to say about the blessings which we enjoy in Christ Jesus in high places. Let me read one verse again in Portuguese. Bendito Deus e Pai de nosso Senhor Jesus Cristo, o qual nos abençoou com todas as bênçãos espirituais nos lugares celestiais em Cristo. And the translation from the Portuguese and English would roughly go like this. Blessed is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so as we speak of the blessing of citizenship, who among us would want to leave out the greatest citizenship possible, to be a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Now I mentioned that there are foreigners who would like to be citizens of the United States. But even more than this, I could emphasize the fact that there are many foreigners to the kingdom of God who would like to become a part of the family of Jesus Christ. And those who would not like to become a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ do not want to do so because they are unaware of the blessings in this kingdom. Think with me about two or three of these blessings. The blessings, for instance, of sonship. We call God Lord, Master, Jehovah, and many titles such as this, but there is no title so lovely as Father. We also call him Father because we are his children and because he is our Father. Think of the blessing also of brotherhood. Now this word is used loosely and is used muchly. And we could use it, I suppose, in the sense that we are all brothers. But in a special sense, we are brothers and sisters
in the family of Jesus Christ. This is the blessing of which we are so much mindful now, because for 3 years we missed something of the brotherly love which we had enjoyed here in the States. Growingly, we are enjoying it again as we win more and more people for Christ. And as more and more of them grow to some degree to be mature Christians. But nothing have we enjoyed more in the past in the United States than to commune with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. To a great degree, I have Christian friends who are much closer to me than relatives. And so those who are outside of the kingdom sometimes may not want to enter the kingdom because they're not aware of the wonderful blessings that are ours in the kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ. We also have the spiritual blessing of representing Jesus Christ in our area, to our neighbors, to our relatives, to our children. And what a wonderful blessing this is. But you know, there is something special and unique about these three blessings. Something that we need to note. All three of these blessings are ours, not because we asked for them, but because God wanted us to have them. It is a foolish question. Who among us asked to be born? It is almost equally as foolish to ask, who among us asked to be born an American? We might have been Chinese. We could have been Russian. It might have been possible to have been Brazilians. But we were born Americans. And what a blessing it was. And so the blessing of birth, the blessing of being born in the area in which we were born, were not asked for. And who among us asked God to make a plan of redemption, to send his son, to allow him to die, to cause him to be raised from the dead, and to give us life through faith in him? Who among us asked for such a plan? And so tonight I'm asking that we recognize three blessings that were just handed to us. We didn't ask for them. We never thought about them. But God did, and he gave them to us. And we as Americans ought doubly to be appreciative of life as an American, of life as a Christian. And in being appreciative, we ought to offer our gratitude through better service through his church and in our homes, in our communities, and wherever we walk. We ought to walk as a person who is glad to be alive in the States and in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. May we conclude our evening worship service singing together one of the hymns of the faith. And as we sing, if you do not yet know Jesus Christ as Savior, because he has given you so many other things, won't you give him your life? Number 218. While we pray and while we plead, while you seek your soul's deep need, while our Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? May we stand as we sing.
South Norfolk Baptist Church has presented live their evening service from their sanctuary at 1101 Chesapeake Avenue in the South Norfolk Borough of Chesapeake. A cordial welcome is extended to you to attend Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 11, training union at 6:15 p.m., and Sunday evening worship at 7:30. That address again is 1101 Chesapeake Avenue in the South Norfolk Borough of Chesapeake. Join us again next week when once again the South Norfolk Baptist Church will present their evening service.